On this episode of Still Loading. And welcome to this final episode of Mario Month. That's right, we are finally finishing it. Well, I shouldn't say finally. I wish this could go on forever. But once again, Casey, welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time for this whole month. We had some laughs. We cried.
A lot of crying, mainly because of the games. But so to cap off Mario Month, I wanted to talk about the Mario games on the PC. I mean, we talked a little bit about on some of the earlier ones that they were ported from the PC to the NES and the Super Nintendo, like Mario's Time Machine, I believe, was on the PC,
right?
As well as the other, oh my God, why am
Mario's
I playing?
Missing.
Yeah, Mario's Missing. So, but these are the ones that did not get released on the NES or the Super Nintendo. These are the ones that are just a little bit off, a little bit different. And I would actually say, so we're actually going to talk about three different ones today. And out of all of the games we've talked this month, I actually kind of like these the most. Though Mario's Missing was a lot of fun too. I actually enjoyed that because it actually had a little bit of platforming and not just random guessing on questions and answers and stuff like that. So let's dive right into it. So the first game we're going to talk about in this Mario PC extravaganza is Super Mario Bros. And Friends When I Grow Up. And this one, there's really not a lot to talk about. Like, I know we say that with some of the others, but we kind of found something to talk about. This is just nothing. It's a coloring game. It's not even a game. It's just a coloring book, a digital coloring book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was released for the MS-DOS. So basically, you know, like you said, it was a coloring book where you could fill in the different types of occupations that characters like Mario, Link, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, Bowser, what they were all doing throughout different pictures. You can color in. It does have a printing feature. At some point, I would like to figure out how, if that actually would work.
Like through your DOS box.
Yeah, through my DOS box. Right? Yeah, these were emulated.
It would be really hard to find these in the original boxes and stuff like that. That would be cool, though. That would be a great collector's piece, right?
I'd love to get that. And at the end of it, if you wanted to, they have like this little animation feature after you color it in where they like, there's Mario making spaghetti and
lots of spaghetti.
It would be like him like flipping a pot of spaghetti and then it lands on like Link's head or something.
That is weird that they kind of crossed over some of the other Nintendo characters, like Link is in that one. But they have like, I'm looking at this, they have the first page that you can like, they have a bunch of different pages that you can color and then animate. So the first one is a chef/waitress where Mario's the chef, Peach is the waitress, and they're serving Link at the table. The second one is an attorney/judge where it looks like Peach is the judge and Mario and Bowser are the plaintiff and defendant. Then you have a race car/driver mechanic. That's Mario and Luigi from what I can see on here in a race car. And it's weird because there's a weird mole thing coming out of the manhole or like the sewer grate or whatever. Not the grate, but the sewer, like the manhole. Then you have scientist, you have travel guide, which is, there's not even fucking Mario in travel guide. Look at this. It's Link. He's in Russia, apparently. Yeah. Medical doctor/nurse. That's a weird one. You got to look up some of these pictures, man. They're fucking weird.
They are.
Astronomer, which has like Mario almost dressed like Elmer Fudd, just staring at the stars. Carpenter. He's a reckless carpenter. He's got nails all over the place. He's nailing those boards. I'm going to file that one. Ballet dancer, which is kind of weird. So take a look at this. So you have Peach and actually two of the Toads doing ballet, right? But there's a Russian guy clearly not doing ballet in the right side of the image. Can you see that?
Yeah, that is
weird, right?
Very misplaced.
Then disc jockey where it's just a rat, you know, playing.
Oh, Mouser, yeah.
Oh, it's Mouser. Yeah, that Mouser makes sense. Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that. From Mario Bros. 2.
Yep.
Firefighter, professional athlete, which literally has Mario is a football player, Peach is playing tennis, and then Luigi's playing golf.
It's a stone, Luigi. You didn't make it.
And it looks like Mario is about to tackle the shit out of Peach. See that? It's goofy as hell.
Doesn't look consensual.
Computer programmer, armed forces pilot, forest ranger. There's a lot, dude. Farmer, marine biologist, musical conductor slash musician. Finally, a plumber. fashion designer, zookeeper, construction worker / police. Wow, I'm near the bottom.
They packed a lot into this.
Journalist, teacher, homemaker, barber / postal worker. That's a bizarre combo.
Yeah,
Peach is the postal worker, but she doesn't look like Peach in this picture. Business executive, and it clearly has Bowser wearing a tie, pointing to a chart of graph,
just going downward. How's it going down?
Astronaut, pharmacist / store clerk, and finally a veterinarian.
So you know how the last time when we were hanging out doing the podcast, we were talking about misplaced nostalgia?
Yeah.
This is one of those games that feels like it to me. I can definitely imagine myself playing this game as a little kid in my first house growing up in like my dad's old office, because he actually did have a DOS computer. And that's just something that I just imagine, even though I didn't discover this game until 2009. So, right. Like, I didn't even know it existed. So, it's just kind of funny how that works.
I always find, especially for kids growing up in the 90s, PC games have, like, a weird sense of nostalgia because every kid played something, whether it was at school, whether it was at home. They did something. A lot of people remember the Oregon Trail games, whether it was the original one from the 80s, or I played Oregon Trail 2 a lot because I grew up in the 90s. I actually did it for the first or second episode ever of this podcast. I did a game called Power Pete, which you can only find those old episodes on SoundCloud, and not even all of them show because SoundCloud's stupid. Like, I shouldn't insult SoundCloud, but maybe they want to put me back on at some point. But I didn't like it because you had to pay a lot of money in order to get, like, you could upload anything, but it would archive everything. So, like, your RSS feed, I guess people would still be able to download it if they were subscribed to the podcast RSS feed. But if they were on the website itself, the SoundCloud page for you, they could only get the most recent couple. So, for those who are wondering why my list stops at, like, episode 7 when you're scrolling all the way through all my episodes, that's why the first 6 are over on SoundCloud. I should try to find a way to like maybe re-release them as like bonus episodes next year or something like that.
Yeah.
So people can hear how different it is. I actually had a co-host back then, like a permanent one. I was going to say, but like Power Pete was like such a great fucking game. It was awesome. I also remember like a lot of those really cool like animated storybook games. Like Disney had a bunch of them. Also, I played a lot of Dr. Seuss ones, like Green Eggs and Ham.
You were showing me the ones for Sega the last time. Yeah. Out. Like I didn't even know
the Sega Pico, however you say it.
Those things are cool.
Those things are nuts. So I'll post a picture. I did post a picture of it after Too Many Games, but I got a Sega Pico at Too Many Games, and it came with 6 or 7 different games, and the complete in box, like all of them complete in box. It was fucking gorgeous for like $50 too. Dude was going out of business, so he was just trying to get rid of stuff. It sucks that he's going out of business, but it wasn't because of like poor sales. He's just getting out of the game, so they're just trying to, you know, get off everything and fast. But I got a Sega Pico. And for those who don't know what a Pico is, Google it, because it's the most 90s looking video game console you'll ever see. It's like teal and green, or it's teal and purple, and it's just awesome. And so the way it works is that it's actually it's like an educational video game console where what you do is the cartridges are storybooks. It's like storybooks mounted on top of the cartridges, and you plug the cartridges into the Pico or Pico. I don't know how you actually pronounce it. And then you put the AV cables into your TV, plug the Pico or Pico in. I'm just going to say Pico. Turn it on, and whatever page you have up on your storybook is what shows up on the screen, and it has a pen, and you can tap on the storybook, and it will interact with whatever you tap on up on the screen. It's really cool. It's like really like far, like way ahead of its time for like the early 90s.
Agreed.
But anyway, so and speaking of the early 90s, another one of these Mario games, that's a A plus transition. Perfect. One of these other Mario games is Mario Teaches Typing. And there was a second one to this too, but we only tried out the first one.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to download the second one, but let me hear your thoughts first.
Okay, so it's in terms of gameplay, it's better than the Mario and Friends or whatever, Mario Bros. And Friends one. But the sound is awful. For those who listen to that lovely little intro of the podcast, that's from this game. It's fucking awful. Mm-hmm. The worst sound design. It's so loud and it's so high up there. Like, it hurts your ears to listen to.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Which I just subjected all the listeners to at the beginning of the episode.
I mean, they know firsthand. But yeah, I think it's a fun typing game. It's especially good for, children who are learning to type for the first time. When I was growing up in elementary school, we used Mavis Beacon, but I think this would have been a good alternative as well. But if I was a kid and they made us play this game, I would have had to have gone to the teacher to tell everyone to put it on mute, because that is awful.
It was so loud. It was so painful to listen to.
Obnoxious.
It was absolutely awful. I do think it was cool though that, like, if you got really good, then Mario would, like, run. It kind of gave you a reward where Mario would look like he's actually platforming the faster you typed, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool. So the way it looked is that you saw, like, almost like a normal-ish looking Mario level, and each, like, coin block and enemy that you would run up to has a letter on it, and you have to hit the letter when you, like, you don't even have to when you get up there. You just have to hit it.
Right.
So if you type really fast, you can actually keep Mario going at this, like, breakneck pace. And there's no way to die from what we can see. It's just, once you get up to the spot where you're supposed to hit a letter, if you're not hitting a letter, it'll just stop there and wait for you to do it.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
And then the sun. I liked your description of the sun.
So the background, I mean, it looks almost like ASCII art. Well, not actually ASCII art, I guess. It's, 90s PC art. And the sun has this shit-eating grin, like he's getting blown. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. He's just, that's the best way I can describe it in a sound. Like, it is the weirdest looking face I've ever seen. Well, I guess from a sun, but that doesn't happen to him. I mean, in terms of Mario canon, the sun's angry as hell.
That's true.
It's trying to swoop down and kill you.
Yep.
And actually, where we're living right now in Pennsylvania, it's trying to do the same right now. That's what it's doing. Yep. It's hot as hell right now.
Heat wave. It's supposed to be like 100 degrees tomorrow. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I feel bad for the people who live farther down south. My family was just on a mission trip to Mexico, and it was like 115 down there. But it was so much better than up here because it's so humid where we're at. It was so dry down there. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like, my dad was even like, I'd rather be down there. It's 115, but you, like, the sweat actually cools you off instead of getting stuck to your body. But that's really all there is to say about Mario Teaches Typing. It's just a simple typing game with a sun that's getting blown. I mean, it's totally children appropriate.
Yep.
It's as simple as that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the final game we have to talk about today, I actually had a lot of fun with. We actually got, like, sucked into it for a little bit. It's called Mario's Game Gallery, which was later renamed to Mario's Fundamentals. And that pun game is on point right there, Mario. Good job. So it was originally released on February 23rd, 1995, and then renamed, like, are you shitting me? Like, a week later. So, oh, wait, no, never mind. It says 1998. I got confused there for a second. So February 23rd, 1995 was Mario's Game Gallery, and it was re-released as Mario's Fundamentals on March 3rd, 1998. I saw the February 23rd to, like, March 3rd thing. I'm like, are you shitting me? That was like it's like 8 days. That's it. But it was like 3 years and 8 days.
Gotcha.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So Mario's Game Gallery, it is a collection of mini games, and probably most famous, its biggest claim to fame is that it's the first time the current and best voice actor, in my opinion, pretty much the only one. There was like one other one before him, right? One or two. Charles Martinet is who we're talking about, the voice actor.
Right. there were a couple others, but not on the nowhere near the popularity level.
Were there others on, like, I'm talking about just games. I know there's people who voice Mario in the cartoons and the TV show, but in terms of just games,
I was just basically going by Mario Teaches Typing does have some voiceover. We just didn't get to that. And then There's the voice over for Mario teaches, or Mario's Fun with Letters and Fun with Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
When we were playing that the last time, he was saying those silly quips and whatnot.
Yeah. I think those were supposed to be Luigi, actually. I don't know. I guess it was supposed to be Mario.
Yeah, I
couldn't
know either.
I couldn't tell.
It might be, yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter all that much. So Mario's Game Gallery, it's just a collect, like I said before, a collection of mini games, and they're all just basic games that you already know. And I'm not even talking about, like, the collection of mini games that you always see everywhere. Like, here's this version of Snake, or here's this version of Breakout, or here's this version of whatever. It's just board games, other versions, like Mario versions of board games, checkers, backgammon, dominoes. Though there was one just called Yacht, which I had never heard of before, but I'm sure, I bet you that's a card game that I've never played.
I think I read prior that it was basically its own version of Yahtzee, I think.
Oh, really?
But I don't know for sure, because we didn't play it.
Yeah, we didn't. We got bored halfway through, but I won't lie, Go Fish was fucking awesome.
Go Fish and... how could we forget checkers?
Oh, my God. So, Go Fish, it's just that. It's Go Fish, you know. But what sold Go Fish to, at least to me, I would assume for you as well, Casey, was Charles Martinet's voice acting on it. Because every time you'd tell him, it would be some random kid going, Mario, Go Fish! And you would hear, then you would hear him go, fishy, fishy, fishy. I can't do his voice well at all. I don't wanna, that was probably awful to listen to.
No, the whole experience itself with just mainly the two games we were playing was charming, especially with checkers when you can either choose between the Koopa or Yoshi, and then mm-hmm. if you jump over the Koopa, Yoshi eats him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the Koopa is crowned king, turns into Bowser, just like little things like that makes it really...
yeah.
Charming.
I also love that, like, the loading screen for each of the games had, like, this really fun animation of, like, you know, like the Koopas chasing Mario or, like, Mario chasing something. It had this really fun animation for each little character as to what kind of applied to the game. I'm not gonna lie to you, Mario's a smug son of a bitch when he's playing Go Fish. Like, he wrecks you.
He does. But at least he's graceful about his victory.
He is. He was very nice to you. He's like, try again. But actually, he didn't even say that. He was like, good job, or like, good game. He literally threw out like an OG GG or something like that. Oh my God, it was pretty charming though. Like, I actually was pleasantly surprised by it. We got sucked into that Go Fish game. Like, we were like getting competitive with Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And then we tried out checkers, and because of me, we lost real bad. I had this grand plan, and then it ended up him.
We thought we had it. We really did, because there was four of our kings against two of his kings, and then we were in a position where we thought that we had him cornered. We were going to sacrifice one king mm-hmm. to get him back.
We were going to sacrifice one king to take out his and then hopefully take out the second one.
Right.
But we positioned all of our kings, thanks in part to my brilliant strategy, all in a spot where as soon as he took one, he could take all of them.
Yeah.
With the exception, we had five kings and he took four of them in one swoop.
Yep.
Or it was like four kings and he took three of them.
Yeah.
One. It was awful.
It was bad. And we immediately just quit. We're like, this never happened.
No one, we have no witnesses.
Yep.
Though your cat's here. That Ace was a witness. She doesn't know though. what you looking at? Don't you judge me. Her back's turned to me though.
she's disgraced at us.
I know. She's like, I can't even look at you.
She's like, I am disappointed.
I am disappointed. No, but then you also, I mean, there was, like I said, it was Go Fish, Backgammon, Checkers, Yacht, and what was the fifth one? There was like a total
Dominoes?
Of
Do you say Dominoes?
That okay. was it. I thought there was one more besides the Dominoes. I think there was a total of five. So Go Fish, Backgammon, Checkers, Dominoes, Yacht. I think there were six actually then. Was there only five?
I think there were only five.
Only five?
Yeah.
It was cool because every time you would click on a different game, Mario had like, he was like doing this weird pose and whatever item was in his hand would change depending on which game that you selected. And it was actually really, really freaking cool. It was just charming. Like, it was just really freaking charming. I can't describe it better than that, really.
Yeah. It was a fun game.
But yeah, so there wasn't really much more to talk about with these edutainment games. But we didn't want to leave you with just that. We didn't want to just end the episode on just that, especially because we're not that far in. We're only about 20-ish minutes in. Well, maybe once I edit it out, it'll be down to like 18 or 19, but we'll see. We're close to 20.
Don't hold it to us.
Don't at me. Well, maybe at me. But what we want to talk about, something that wouldn't really fit in with any other of the other episodes, the Mario mobile games that have recently come out. We're kind of going from retro to modern, like almost instant, in a blink of an eye. I've played a lot of Mario Run. Casey, you said you tried out the recently released Dr. Mario World.
Yeah, I played it.
Is it Dr. Mario World or just Dr.?
Yeah, Dr. Mario World.
Actually,
I did play
it on my phone.
Yeah, I did play a little bit of it. It is pretty fun. To be perfectly honest, I haven't played it. I only played it twice, and it's been like a little bit over a week since I've done it.
Really?
Yeah, but it has been pretty fun. I know there are some differences compared to the other, or the original, I should say, but the gameplay is relatively the same.
I did play a little bit of it, and it was really interesting. It was so different from the, because it's not dropping from the top from what I played. It's like going up from the bottom in a weird sense.
Yeah, so it's kind of like reverse to a degree, but... Mm-hmm. You only need one pill, I believe, now just to kill the viruses rather than two full color.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you needed more. I don't know. I haven't. I thought you still needed the normal, like three, like the grouping or whatever.
Well, I did know like the. Yeah, let's double check that.
So what you may hear, I'm just going to leave this on. I don't care. So what you may hear in the background is Dr. Mario World.
Updated main menu music. Very nice.
I don't know if it might ask for like me to like update the game because it's been a minute since I did have it installed. So, all right. So let's see. All right. Eliminate all the viruses. Got it. So then it has the loading screen. So let's see what it has me do here. Eliminate all the viruses. I get it. Okay. So there it is. Okay. So what's weird is like you can... All right, let's see what happens. This one's not a good example because there's two in each one, so I'm guaranteed to... Actually, you know what? I can do this. Hold on. Damn it, that didn't work either. We're just going to say it needs three. That was grade A research right there.
So, you know how that we were... The original plan for Mario Month that you proposed was to do, like... The obscure ones, which we have been doing. And then I proposed possibly doing Hotel Mario, but I needed a CDI to do it. And I'm not forking out $200-$300 for a terrible system.
That will be something we cover at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I'll get it at one day, but not right now. I do have the game. But anyway, moral of the story is I was having a conversation with some of my other buddies probably about a year ago, and they're asking me what I thought of Hotel Mario. And I said... The game, this is my opinion, and let me know if you agree or not, because it is relevant to mobile games. For me, I feel like the game was released in the wrong time period. If that game was released on mobile today, I feel like it would be a big hit.
I would agree, because it's a very simple style of gameplay.
Right.
A lot of the old games that were like mini-game games, like mini-game compilations, like Mario Party and stuff like that, all of those games could be released separately as... mobile games because they're just simple pick up and play type of games.
Yep.
And I'm not a big mobile game type of guy, but there's certain ones that do pique my interest. Mm-hmm. I actually still play Pokemon Go a lot because I like games that don't make you have to pay in order to actually play them. Like if they're free to play, they better actually let you play.
Sure.
If there's games that cost money, like actually one of the other ones we're going to talk about, Super Mario Run, I have no issue with their business model. It's like they give you the first four levels for free. And then you can pay $10 to unlock the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid $10 because I actually really like it. We'll go into Super Mario Run in a little bit, but...
Yeah, I know different companies have different modules for pay-to-play. One of the games that I was really, really big in was Tekken Revolution for PlayStation 3 by Namco. They since took that game off the servers. I think March 2017. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But their model was it was strictly online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was some offline, but you mainly played online. You get five, basically golden five silver tickets, which you can use.
I was hoping
for,
this was like Willy Wonka.
You get five silver tickets to play offline and then five golden tickets to play online. And then there are like these two different coins you can interchange, I think.
Yeah.
But what they did was that you get a new ticket every hour.
Okay.
So if you wanted to continue playing, you could purchase like 10 tickets for $5 or $20 for 100 tickets. But even if you didn't want to do that and you just wanted to save your money, like you get free tickets, but you just have to wait a certain period of time.
I don't even like that, but at least an hour is not too bad.
Yeah.
There's others that will make you wait like 2 days before you can make your next move, which is just fucking bullshit. It makes me so mad when there's like game developers that do that. And like Pokemon Go is like similar. Like you can earn, so like you can get these coins that'll let you to buy pack upgrades. Like you have more Pokemon storage, have more item storage, or something like that. Now there's two ways you can get it: spend real life money to get those coins in order to buy it, or you can go compete in gyms. And so by playing, you earn those coins, and then you can use those coins to upgrade your packs and whatnot.
Now to replenish your Pokeballs, you have to go to a
Pokestop.
Okay.
And that's just that
anywhere
there's a Pokestop, you walk up to it, you spin it. Like I actually have a problem like losing Pokeballs because I don't play enough to keep catching.
Gotcha. I don't have any left, so I'm like, I don't know where to get more.
Oh, I can show you how.
Gotcha.
I'll show you the ropes, kid.
Cool.
It's a good time. But no, I actually really like Pokemon Go, but so anyway, Dr. Mario World. It was fun. Like Dr. Mario was never 100% my game, but at the same time, like we've gone to retro game nights together, and you see me get sucked into the original one, and I'll play it for like an hour. That music, dude, is so good.
Yep,
so good. But what I actually know a lot of is Super Mario Run. Like, do you have anything else to say about Dr. Mario World before I talk?
No,
about
I Run? Haven't. I haven't played it enough to really give an opinion, and I feel bad because I know you asked if I played, and I said, yeah, we can talk about it. And like, I was literally like, yeah, it's a little bit different, and
you
I like
let
it.
Me down,
but
kid. You let me down.
You know what? That was payback for Checkers.
That's right. Yeah. I fucked you over on that. I screwed you over on that.
I didn't want to say, I wanted to cut the F word on that.
Gotcha.
One. I swear too much.
Super Mario Run, though, is actually really freaking cool. So they designed the game really well in the fact that Mario's always moving right. You just have to hit the button you just tap the center of the screen in order to jump, the bottom center of the screen. And each of the levels is really interesting. They provide really unique ideas for gameplay. And what they've done that was really cool is that as you progress through the game, they have levels that actually have Mario running back to the left instead of just right. And it's all about figuring out the timing and everything. And I go through the game slowly. Like, I'm not going nuts trying to get everything. Like, I play it on my breaks at lunch pretty much. Or at lunch. I play it on my break at work a lot. And that's pretty much the only time I play it. I don't really play it at home. But it's a nice, like, time killer. Especially, like, if I was on a train or something like that. Or I'm waiting for my wife somewhere to play it. But they do that. So all the main story mode is just fun. It's got a really good, like, level progression. And you feel in control all the time. Like, anytime you screw up, it's generally your fault. I will say there is a little bit of jankiness with it because the constantly running right, it can mess with your rhythm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of that is a holdout from what you know from old school Mario or from actual, like, from console Mario.
Yeah.
If you were to master the physics of Super Mario Run, I feel like it's much more fair than what I would give it credit for, type of thing. They have another really cool feature. You have a mushroom kingdom of your own that you can decorate however you want. You can put different statues and like houses and other stuff in, which is fine. That's not really like something I'm into, but it's like kids, I feel like, would really like that. And they have this thing called Toad Rally. And so what Toad Rally is that you actually go head to head with another player, like almost like the ghost of another player. You know how like when you're doing racing games, they have like your like time trials where you have to. Well, you'll race, and then you'll race against the ghost of the lap that you just did. You
know what I'm talking about? So it's like faded, I think. Yeah. It's like a faded version of the person that originally did it.
It's kind of like that. So it's like the best version of that player's run of the highest score they got, and you have to try to beat it.
That's really cool.
It's
I haven't seen... I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've done it before, but I can't remember off the top of my head what games have used that before.
Like where you play against the ghost of their of another player.
Exactly.
I have no idea. It's the first I ever saw it, but it was really fun. And so what you do to do the Toad Rallies is you spend Toad Rally tickets, and it maxes out at 99, and you spend one for every time. You can get Toad Rally tickets by beating the levels. So I don't know what would happen if I were to run out of Toad Rally tickets and then also run out of levels to beat. I haven't gotten that far because I don't play it enough. But I'm not going to lie, Toad Rally gets really fucking difficult. And like, I'm only in, like, you have like different player scores, player levels. I'm in like the 300s. I have no idea how high that is. I don't know if that's like super high or like middle of the pack or super low, but I'm around 300s right now. And it gets difficult. Like some of the players that you like, you're fighting their ghosts against or whatever is like, they're tough. Like, it's really hard to beat some of these things. But there's a surprising amount of depth to this game. There's a lot of different things you can do. There's a whole thing called a remix times 10, which I haven't even really touched. I have no idea what it does, but I'm curious as to, you know, what it does. I'll get around to it at some point. But honestly, like, I'm really impressed with Super Mario Run. I know a lot of reviewers didn't like it at all, but it's a mobile game. Like, you can't expect console Mario on a mobile game. You just have to see what you get, and if you like it, then you like it, and if you don't, you don't. But it's a weird thing when they compare it to like other Mario games. I'm like, well, it's a Mario game, but you can't, it's different. Like, you don't have full control of Mario. You can only control when he jumps, and that's pretty much it. You have a little bit of control how far and how high he jumps, just a little bit of control, because you can, if he's in midair, you can tap the jump button again and he'll do a little spin to like elongate the distance. Or if you press and hold down when you tap, it'll go higher. And if you just do a light tap, then he only jumps a little bit type of thing. He doesn't jump quite as high then. So there's some, you do have a little bit of power and whatnot. And they tinker with that. There's certain jumps where you need to hit it the right way. Otherwise, you are not going to get a special coin or like a special power up or something that you could have gotten otherwise, or it just may kill you. Who knows?
Gotcha.
You know, in brutal Mario fashion.
Ooh.
But yeah, I love Super Mario Run, man. It's a really fun game. I don't know why it gets all the hate that it does, or not as much praise as it does, but I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I still have it. I don't really touch it as much, but you know, it's definitely one of those games that I can see myself going back to and just, you know, fooling around with.
So yeah, that about wraps it up for this week's for the final episode of Mario Month this year. I'm looking forward to next year already. We have ideas.
Yes,
we have ideas, and we're looking forward to it. You guys won't know it yet, but we have some ideas on like coming up, or for Mario Month next year. So yeah. So Casey, as per usual, what do you have to promote? Anything that you want to shout out, or anyone you want to shout out, or anything you want to, any social media you want to like pimp out there?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Instagram if you feel like it. It is mainly my video game collection, anything video game related. You can find me at Kazuya Kane, KazuyaKan, as in Nintendo E.
There you go.
I gotta change it up each time.
There you go. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me at stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, please consider giving to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/stillloadingpod. You can also check out the sponsor of the Podbeer Network, SeatGiant, seatgiant.com or seatgiant.ca. SeatGiant is a ticket reselling website where you can get tickets for your favorite concerts, events, shows, musicals, sports games, etc. And they have great prices. And if you use the promo code Podbeard, that's PODBEARD at checkout, you'll save a little extra on top of that. And before we go, I promised shout-outs all throughout Mario Month. I promised shout-outs. So here are those freaking shout-outs. It's going to be a little bit. But so shout-out to Erica over at the Apex in the Abyss, a great true crime podcast and a good friend of mine. Definitely, if you like true crime shows, please check her out. Also, all the members of the Podbeard Network. I should have shouted them out first because that's the network I'm a part of. But just goes to show how much I like that Apex in the Abyss podcast. You know, TJ over at The Hotter Show, James and Brian over at No Geeks Allowed, also Boystick on his YouTube channel and the Honestly Lazy Show on YouTube as well. All of them, give them a check out. It's great content. Go check them out. Also want to shout out my friend, also named Josh, over at Firespin Gaming on YouTube. He does game hunting videos on YouTube and he finds a lot of great shit. Go check his stuff out. Also, shout out to Christian Damon's Amazing Nerd Show. They're really funny, really good podcast all about wrestling and horror movies and comic books and all that good stuff. Also, shout out to This Week in Video Games, the podcast. I have not personally listened to this podcast just yet, but they have been nothing but supportive of me on Twitter, just like tagging me in a bunch of stuff and asking other people to follow this podcast. So seriously, at least go check them out just to try them out because they've been super supportive of me and I'd like to give them a little bit of love back. And also, last shout out to the Drinks with Larry crew. That podcast is funny as hell. Definitely go check out that podcast. A bunch of comedians hanging around and drinking. And I'm also normally not the type to listen to podcasts of, you know, two friends or group of friends just shedding it and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't always interest me, but those guys are really funny and they're really good. So go check them out. And that should wrap up all my shout outs. So thank you for going through all those with me. And thank you all for listening. Casey, thank you for joining me for Mario Month this year.
Anytime. Love it.
And with that said, I will see you all next time.